Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, I want to show you a glorious line in the Scripture. This is a truly glorious line in the Scripture. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, "And there shall be no more curse." That's wonderful, isn't it? "And there shall be no more curse." What a glorious declaration. What an ending to the book. "And there shall be no more curse." We feel the curse, don't we? We feel the curse that sin has brought on us. We feel that curse every day. I feel it, and I'm sure you feel it. I know you do. The curse that our father Adam passed along to us, it has been passed along to every human being born into the world. The curse. This flesh is under the bondage. It is under the weight of the curse. It bears the weight of the curse every day. Sin has cursed us. Many people are not aware of that, but it's so. Sin has cursed us. Because of sin, everything that pertains to this flesh is weighted, is bound by a curse. These bodies are cursed. They get sick and they die. We get sick and we die. Every soul born into this world will get sick at some point and eventually will die. You know why that is? The curse. It's because of the curse. Our efforts are cursed. All of our efforts are cursed. Outside of Christ, everything that we do in this flesh, the Scripture says, will come to naught. It'll come to nothing in the end. All of these efforts that men and women are putting into life on this earth, in the end, it'll come to nothing. It'll be worthless. We build these big bank accounts for ourselves. On the day that we die and leave this earth, we have none of it. We can't take it with us. It just comes to nothing. We work and we labor and it comes to nothing. Our possessions are cursed. The things that we acquire along the way, everything that we have, is either going to rot or it's going to break. It's going to wear out. It's going to disintegrate. It's going to get stolen. Either moths and rusts will corrupt it or thieves will break through and steal it. That's what the Word has to say to us. Our earthly happiness is cursed. Don't you want to be happy? I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But the truth is our earthly happiness is cursed. It doesn't last. We have these little fleeting moments of happiness, but as soon as they come, they're ruined and they're gone. Something will make you so happy, and then right around the corner, something just ruins your whole day. Our lives are spent under the bondage and the weight and the depression. Do you ever experience depression? Our lives are under the bondage and the weight and the depression of the curse. That's what it is. If you want to know why is it like this, that's what it is. It's the curse. Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, "For the creature," and that word means, it translates, creation, this whole creation. "For the creature," or the creation, "was made subject to vanity." It was made subject to vanity. That word vanity means emptiness, worthlessness. "The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." That means because of one man's sin, death passed upon all men and all things. In Adam, all die. Because of one sin, everything became cursed. Everything. Somebody will say, "Well, that's not fair." Well, that's the way it is. That's what happened. In Adam, all die. Everything became cursed. Verse 22 right here says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit," even God's people who have been saved, even saved people, the quickened, the first fruits of the Spirit. It goes on to say, "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit," or to know, "the redemption of our body." We're just waiting for the redemption of our body. Everything is groaning and travailing in pain because of the curse. Even the ground is cursed. Even the ground is cursed. Look at three scriptures with me. If you have your Bible, we're just going to quickly go to three different scriptures. The first one is Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, verse 10 says, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Every soul who is trying to obey the law for God to be happy with him and for God to accept him into heaven, every person who's trying to do that is under the curse. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." All right, that's the first one. The next scripture is Galatians chapter 1. If you turn back a page to Galatians 1, verse 8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed." The Apostle Paul, one of the writers of Scripture, says, "If anyone comes preaching any other thing than what is declared in the Scripture, let him be cursed." All right, now the third one is 1 Corinthians 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22 says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." That means cursed when the Lord returns. If any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever is of the works of the law is cursed. If anyone is saying, "Now you better obey that law. If you want to go to heaven, you better obey what the law says," that's a cursed person. Whoever's of the works of the law is cursed. Whoever preaches another gospel than the gospel that God has declared in the person and work of Christ, His Son alone, His blood alone, he's cursed. And whoever does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, that means cast his all on Christ and believe on Christ and bow to His will and bow to His word, is cursed. Everything has been cursed. And everyone suffers because of the curse. Now, here's what the Scripture says. But God. That is the glorious declaration of the gospel. but God. When it comes to man, when it comes to creation, when it comes to everything, it's cursed. That's all you can say about it. But God. But God. Listen to how this is worded. I believe you'll enjoy this. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Verse 7 says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." For the first time, they saw themselves. They saw their sin. They saw what they had done. Now watch verse 12. "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." That right there is the gospel. Would you like to know what the gospel is? Have you ever wondered really what the gospel is? That's it. That right there is but God. But God. Now, why do I say that? Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 13. It says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Adam and Eve and that whole scenario represents Christ and His bride. The Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. She, the bride, God's people. I pray that's us. I pray that's you and I pray that's me. His bride was deceived. Deceived into thinking that sin against God would not plunge her head first into the curse. Deceived. But we were wrong. We were so wrong. We ignorantly, foolishly, sinfully were in the transgression. We brought it on ourselves. Eve brought it on herself. And that's what all of God's people have done. Willingly brought it on themselves. We brought the curse on ourselves. But our bridegroom, that's who the Lord Jesus Christ is called in the Scripture, the bridegroom. You know, He should have just left us alone. Adam, he was not deceived. Adam could have just said, "You shouldn't have done that. You're on your own. You've sinned against God. You brought the curse on yourself." He should have left us, our bridegroom, Christ. He should have left us to die in the curse of our sin. But He didn't do that. That's the gospel. But He didn't do that. He joined Himself to us in our sin. He put Himself under the same condemnation. Willingly. He was not deceived. He knew exactly what He was doing. He saw what His bride had fallen under. He saw what His bride had brought on herself. He saw the curse. He saw the death. He saw the sin. And He put Himself under the same condemnation. Christ saw how we had fallen, and He took the fall with us. That's the gospel. He took the fall for us. Look at Galatians 3 one more time. It says in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's a husband. That's a husband. That is a redeemer. He made himself to be cursed for us. The gospel is not about how are we going to get ourselves out of this mess. The gospel is about how Christ made himself to be cursed for us. Cursed in our place. When he hung on that tree, he redeemed his entire bride from the curse. He took their place. He became their substitute. Now go with me, if you would, back to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, and there shall be no more curse, never again. Now this is something to look forward to. In Christ, in His blood, in His work, our bodies will never be cursed ever again. He is going to redeem His people, redeem all of His people. Not just the soul, but the body. And our bodies will never be cursed ever again. There'll be no more sickness. Wouldn't you look forward to that? No more death. In Christ, with Christ, never again. Our minds will not be cursed. Our minds are so cursed, we can't go seconds without thinking some type of a sinful thought. Our minds will never be cursed ever again. Our hearts will never be cursed ever again. We can't go any matter of seconds without feeling anger, jealousy, depression. Never again. Never again. Our efforts will never be cursed ever again. Our Lord said in glory, my people are going to long enjoy the work of their hands. Our possessions, a better way of saying that is our possession, which is Christ. What we have in Him, it'll never be cursed ever again. Our happiness, it will never be cursed ever again. Nothing will be able to take our happiness from us, our joy, our exceeding joy. Verse 3 says, and there shall be no more curse, but instead of the curse, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. God made an exchange for us. He took our curse, and He gave us, in exchange for that, the throne of the Lamb. Imagine that. The throne of the Lamb. Look with me at Revelation chapter 5. It says in Revelation 5, verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb. Who's that? Jesus Christ. A Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth with Him, seated with Him. If you look at Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Because there is no more curse, we can now approach that throne with boldness. All of these people who had sinned against Him, they had all sinned against Him. If you look at verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because there is now in Christ and in His blood no more curse, all of His people may approach that throne with boldness. If we belong to Him, we may approach that throne with boldness, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. That's glorious. We have a high priest, the Scripture says, that was touched with the feeling of our curse, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, so that we could have access to His throne, accepted back in the Beloved, back to the throne of God. Now, in Revelation 22, verse 3 says, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They're going to serve Him. You know why His servants, His redeemed, His elect, do you know why they're going to serve Him? It's because that's what they are going to want to do for all eternity. They will greatly desire that, and they are going to be given the desires of their heart. They're going to be allowed to. That joy is life to them. That's what they desire. That's what they hope for. That's heaven. Serving Him, that's heaven. He made Himself to be the servant for us in order to give us eternity. And we are going to have all of eternity to serve Him in return, saying thank you. We're going to have all of eternity to say thank you, worshiping Him, bowing before Him. Verse 3, There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. They're going to see His face, face to face. Oh, blissful moment. That's what the song says. And I shall see Him face to face. How glorious is that? And His name is going to be in their foreheads. What that means is they're going to know Him. They're going to think on Him. They're going to dwell on Him. They're going to ponder Him. They're going to have conversations about Him. I love thinking of these people in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that God redeemed. And they're with Him now. They will be there when the rest of His people arrive, gathered in these little groups, having conversations about Christ. And you walk up and say, what are you all talking about? And they say, we're talking about Christ. You want to come talk with us? I sure do. And you can talk and talk and see Him and talk to Him and speak of Him all the days of your life. And somebody say, well, what time is it? What time does it get dark here? Well, it doesn't get dark here. We can just keep on going and going. Verse 5 says, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. There's no night. That means there's no sin. There's no secrets. There's no blindness. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. They'll never have to produce anything on their own ever again. Never have to provide anything on their own. They'll never be without warmth and health and nourishment. Verse 5 says, for the Lord God giveth them light. Where does it come from? Chapter 21 says, Christ is the light. He is the light. And the end of chapter 22, verse 5 says, they shall reign with Christ forever and ever. With the curse removed, with the bride redeemed, she's going to reign with Him forever. If we belong to Him, that's an amazing statement. That is an awesome, full of awe statement. Reign with Him forever. And forever would be long enough. Forever is long enough, but it keeps going. It says forever and ever. And ever and ever. How far can you go into eternity, a never-ending eternity? It's an amazing thought, isn't it? And the thing that I haven't quite gotten over just yet, and all of God's people, the thing that they'll never get over is, verse 3 says, there shall be no more curse. For all of eternity, all of God's people, it's just going to be amazing to them. They're just going to be amazed by the fact that there's no more curse. He loved us and He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And now there's no more curse. Amen. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.